Hello, welcome to the Sights On Podcast. I'm Luciano, this is Alex. Today we're going to be discussing one of the most important rights that we have as Americans, the freedom of speech. We're going to dissect the issues today that are very important to the censorship of freedom of speech, the regulation of freedom of speech, what freedom of speech entails. It's a very important topic today. Thank you for joining us on this journey. Alex, let's begin with a little discussion about our lives first. Let's take a step back. And how's your... We do this weekly, right? And we want to integrate some of our lives into it. So how was your week?
I had a great week. Yeah. So actually, funny enough, I went out. It was my dad's birthday. We did his birthday. He wanted to go to the zoo, so we went to the zoo. But funny enough, I actually went to Tarleton to see my girlfriend. I surprised her.
No way.
And yes, she had life 360. She could attract me, whatever. But so we went to the zoo. I said, Mom, I've really got to go see Avery. And so I packed my bag when I got home from the zoo, and I just drove out an hour and a half to Tarleton, and I surprised her. And she was completely blown away, like that because I had Life 360, so I kind of knew a general area of where she was. I'd never been to her new dorm, and I just looked on the location. I was like, okay, she's somewhere here, so when I get there to like her dorm area, I'm like, Avery, check your Life 360 right now. And she goes, what? Why would I do that? And I'm right there, and she's like, oh my gosh, and she like freaks out, and we hang out for the whole day, and I just like blew her away. It was like the best surprise. I think I just completely like made her whole week by coming.
That's amazing. Yeah,
what about you?
I just got a comment on that's amazing that you just wanted to surprise her, because right now we're in like the beginning of our college sessions, and Alex just took the time. I was just the weekend, he's like, I'm gonna go.
Yeah, I was like, I gotta like surprise her.
It was like a 90-minute drive.
Yeah, it's a good hour and a half. So I was surprised she didn't check. Like, we have a thing that can track each other up. So she didn't be like, Alex, what are you doing? Like, almost here in Stephenville.
Yeah. For me, it was a stressful week, but not stressful week. I'm just settling into classes. We had a lot of content in anatomy. Like, I'm not joking. Everything that we learn in anatomy, it's crazy. And I'm just trying to get through the books, trying to study the flashcards. Same.
I'm getting to a point where I'm trying to like manage my online and then do my two in-person classes. One of my in-person classes is really interesting. I have a great teacher. She's very, really? You know what I was talking about? Like, she's very, gets everybody engaged. I love that about her. And my other teacher is just very boring, and he just talks, but he doesn't get anybody engaged. And it's just like, oh, it's two different sides of like how to be a good professor and then how to be the bare minimum professor, you know?
Yeah. We have a professor who goes, he's like the opposite of all the other professors. He wants to do the opposite of every other professor. And all the other professors hate him, but the students love him because he does the opposite. And he makes the class enjoyable. So I go to his office hours all the time. And it's organic chemistry, not anything that people want to do, but he makes it likable. So I'm glad I'm there. And yeah.
All right. Are you ready to get into it?
Let's get into it.
Start us off, Lucci.
So freedom of speech, it's very important. This right that we have in the Bill of Rights is our First Amendment. It protects us from any tyrannical, any oppressive forces on us that could silence our speech, that could make us into minions of the government. People that have freedom of speech are free. They are free to make their choices, free to express their actual opinions, free to dissent against the government. And we only see that here in America because our founders realized that the government of Britain before was not the way to go, because the king could oppress the people and suppress their opinions, because the king's way is the way of the king. George Washington decided, no, I'm not going to be a king. I want to give this government to the people to decide and give them a voice so that the people will have their freedoms and that the government does not get too big. And he saw that in the beginning, and he realized that not like men will abuse power if they get too much. So let's just give it to the people and let them decide and give them the freedom of speech, which is so valuable that we have in this country.
Yeah. And we can go into things like cancel culture and other topics, our freedom of press, and then our freedom to protest, all are under our First Amendment. And we kind of see in today's society, we like to try to silence people as the people. The government also tries to, but I feel like as people, we try to use our own power and silence other people, even if they have disagreeing opinions. And I think we definitely see a lot of that in today's society. I mean, there's people I definitely don't like, and I'm like, man, why did he say that? I don't even want to hear what he said. I mean, like people, for example, like I don't like Alex Jones. Alex Jones, I think he's a Republican conspiracy theorist, but he's off his record like 90% of the time, maybe even 99, 100% of the time. And so I don't like what he says. I think he makes Republicans look bad. And so I don't like that. But I can't be like, all right, let's just make sure this guy can never say anything again, right? He has the right in America to say what he wants, even if I completely disagree.
And that's the reason we have to appreciate that we can disagree without getting violent. That's the only thing that keeps us from killing each other, having violence to stab each other in the throats because we have a difference of opinion. And only in America that can we do that and be graceful enough to discuss with people on the opposing side. And that's the beauty of America. That's the beauty that we take for granted, because we need to appreciate that we can speak, we can have our own opinion, we can go into this country knowing that we don't have to back down, we don't have to be fearful about what our opinions are. We know that we can go and say them out without being repercussed, being put in jail for what you believe. That's what happens in so many other countries that we don't want to become. And let's go through a little history lesson. So, in your knowledge, Alex, do you know of any country today that freedom of speech is a non-negotiable for any other place in this country?
In the world?
Like, in the world.
I can't think of any. I can think of a ton of countries that limit your freedom of speech, but I cannot think of other countries that
have it written in the Constitution.
Yeah, written in their Constitution. Like, the first thing is your freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of protest.
None. So let's go through the countries that do not. Let's go through them.
Let's go through there's two big ones, and everyone's gonna say North Korea, but I'm trying to think of something that's not a complete and total dictatorship. And the two big ones, right, are Russia and China. If you speak out against the government, you either die strange or by accident, supposedly, or you're just flat out killed, and just ends like that. In both countries.
Yeah. These countries, they spend so much money on censorship, on the military, on making sure that the people are in order. Their number one thing is to control the people, and these people, they want to dissent, but they're always fearful. They do not feel safe in these countries, and that's why the freedom of speech is so valuable. If these people truly had the right to speak against the government, those countries would not be like what they are today. Those people in power, they are taking away these rights, and these people are living like minions under a government. Then they're living on the lowest means, and they can't ever get out of that because they can't speak against the government.
Of course, especially like Vladimir Putin or Xi Jinping, you know, especially we've seen these billionaires, they speak out, you know, they want to say something, and then they do. If they disagree with the presidents, they're pretty much gone.
Exactly. And then we'll go through a little bit more. I have some research here. I'll just put some names out. We have Napoleon Bonaparte. He's a French revolutionary leader. King Louis the 16th. These are in history tyrants that suppressed their people. King George the 3rd. That was the King George that was trying to oppress the colonies during the American Revolution. Pol Pot. Everyone knows Pol Pot. Mao Zedong, the new cultural revolution in China that killed so many.
And if you want someone who's like completely, and it's like the key one that everyone knows, Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un.
You really have absolutely, like China and Russia, you have a bit of freedom of speech. Kim Jong-un, you have 1% maybe power to say, and it's better be good, because otherwise you're going to a camp.
Yeah. Vladimir Lenin, Joseph Stalin, under those two leaders in Russia, over 20 million people starved and or died to death in those countries, in Russia. And the people had no say over it. They were just minions. So as you can see, freedom of speech is valuable to us, and we need to protect it, because if the people don't have a say in the government, they won't be able to change it.
And that's the whole thing, kind of, when we go, as we go over the whole 10 Bill of Rights amendments, you know, that the founding fathers were trying to balance the government's power and the people's power to try to make it so that the people always had the power. And it's kind of fluctuated. I feel like the government has a lot of power now, and the people, some, it feels like they have less. But you get where I'm coming from, that they were trying to balance it out because they were coming from a country, Great Britain, where the government had full power because it was a monarchy.
The Bill of Rights balances out. I agree. Like, it helps. I mean, that was the original stance of the Bill of Rights. It was Alexander Hamilton and Thomas Jefferson battling out. Hamilton was the one saying, no, we need a bigger federal government.
Yeah.
Jefferson was like, no, we need to back out, and we need to give the people the rights, because if the government gets too big, they're just going to infringe their agenda on the people, and the people will suffer because of it. So the Bill of Rights exactly was to protect the people, give the people power and protections so that the government can never take that away.
Yeah.
That's what's beautiful about this country, because we have these rights and we need to know them, because if we know them, we know that we can appreciate them from comparing other countries, and we need to use them today, because what we enjoy today, we need to preserve for our children in the future.
Yeah, and there are small limitations in our freedom of speech, but it's very small, like no obscenities, no defamation, violence, harassment, or fraud. And I think that's great to have, because we don't want people committing fraud on other people or violence. Like, if we had a thing that was like, we're going to go hurt all university teachers if they can't, because we just don't like them. Like, we can't go out there and commit and say violent things. And I think that's a good thing, because we don't want a lot of violence in America or the world. So
now you can talk about the limitations of free speech, because it's
but our very limitations, I would too. Say, are these are like good there. Limitations.
Yeah, good limitations. The like, if you want to go hurt someone and you say bad speech, I agree. Like, you that's not freedom of speech.
Like, you know, the classic example, you can't say bomb in the airport. You're gonna get tackled. Like, you shouldn't be saying things that could scare other people, especially on an airport where you're in a plane. If I'm on an airplane and someone goes, I have a bomb, but they really don't, you're gonna screw everything up. So don't say that.
Right. It's important to know the limits of freedom of speech, but it's such a valuable thing in the US. I can't stress it enough. We have this gift that our founding fathers wrote for us, because they knew we were gonna need it. And look at all the countries in the world. Where's the one place that you can feel free to speak? It's only in America, and we need to protect it. So transitioning, I want to read a little story from my mom.
Okay.
She was from communist Vietnam. She lived under a totalitarian regime, and it was one of the worst things that you could ever think of. I asked her before this podcast, I wanted to get her perspective on freedom of speech, try to see how she was monitored or surveilled under that communist party, and here's what she had to say. So freedom of speech. To start with, I remembered that we were not allowed to criticize the CPV, Communist Party of Vietnam, and its officials, even when they intimidated its citizens. We lived in the shadow to survive. They watched every move we made. They knocked at the door in the middle of the night to check whether we were around or missing in action somewhere else. On the night, on the other situation, some officials moved into our relatives' residence and lived there rent-free, plus eavesdropped on our conversations. Sometimes we had to give the officials some money so that they would not bother us. As a 10-year-old child, I already knew that I wanted to live in America and would escape Vietnam in a flash, even with reasons that I lost my brother, my mother's imprisonment, we were homeless for so long, and we lived in the violent ocean storms, and finally ended up in a refugee camp after the escapes.
It's awful. Like, I mean, just incredible that your mom got out of that situation. We talked about this on the very first episode, but she couldn't speak. She couldn't say anything because she has government officials that would probably imprisonment her too. Or I heard just being a 10-year-old girl, they could have just killed her, or they could have done awful things to her. And it's awesome that she got out of there, because it's plainly like scary to think of how badly that could have turned out.
No one was allowed to speak against the government. No one was allowed to even say anything to the soldier that came into the house and said, "Hey, I'm going to live in here for an undetermined time." But there's people say, "Yes, we have to let him in, because if we don't, we're going to be put in jail. We're going to be killed. We're going to be wiped off without any record," like you said. This is what happens when freedom of speech, when the government gets too big. This is what happens when we don't have these values. That's why we have to protect it in America.
You probably also didn't have any freedom of the press. It was probably all propagandized.
It was all propagandized. That's what happened with Adolf Hitler. That's what happened with Mussolini. Fascist powers, all of them, they controlled the media. They controlled speech. Anything that went against you, you are going to be put in jail.
Don't forget, you also, another part of the amendment, you didn't have probably any right to protest. She couldn't go out there, because if she went out to protest, she would have been arrested.
She would have been arrested. It's sad. Like, the people living under them, they do not know what real freedom of speech is. They live in these countries, in a bubble. This is all they know, because their freedom of speech has always been taken away from them. We in America, we have experienced this. We have experienced the freedom of speech, and we haven't ever experienced it taken away from us. We haven't experienced it at the level of what my mom experienced it. And we need to realize this and appreciate that freedom of speech, the thing that we can express ourselves without the government punishing us, is so valuable that we need to discuss it and keep it from ever being torn away from this country.
Yeah. I mean, if they took away the freedom of the press, the freedom of to say what you want, and we see that in our own society, we're trying to take away people's right because we don't agree with them, it would just turn out to be like every other country, like Russia or China. If we let the government censor everything, which this government, I feel like now, sometimes does try to censor and propagandize it, but we as people have to say, hey, no, you can't do that. We were looking at the Facebook,
Meta, yeah, Facebook.
That they were trying to, you know, control what we the people were seeing, so that way they would get what they wanted out, instead of letting people decide for themselves, you know, what is this? Is this true? You know, kind of deal.
And I can't even believe that that happened, because the U.S. government, during COVID, they contacted with Facebook to censor posts that were untrue in the eyes of the CDC. Keep in mind, COVID was a new thing. And so many people, experts from all around, never agreed on the right way to handle the virus. And when the CDC comes in and says, no, everything else is wrong, what we say is right, that is limiting free speech, and that's saying that the government knows what is right for the people. No one else knows. No one else can discuss it.
And even if the CDC is right, I think everybody has the, you know, there is no thing against misinformation. Not saying I'm supporting misinformation at all. Don't quote me on that. I'm not supporting misinformation. But everyone has the right to post whatever they want. Like I said, even with Alex Jones, I feel like he puts out misinformation. He puts out a bunch of crap that I don't agree with. But am I going to take it down? No.
Yeah. And the government should never censor things, because it's the right of the people. The moment when the government tries to censor things, that's when it starts to take other things away. Now we're not going to let you post these certain things. Now we're not going to let you video these certain things. Oh, now we're not going to let you say these certain things. Now we're going to change the language and make you say certain things so that you won't get in trouble. If you do say these things, we will reprimand you. We'll take away your job. We'll take away your money. And we'll put you in jail. That's what happens in the communist government.
Yeah.
And once we get on that ball rolling, it's not going to come back. So we need to take the stand and say, no, this can't happen. The government can't do this.
Just a quick side. Have you seen in Philadelphia, they have, like, communist protest rallies, which I know we're talking about, like, they obviously have the right to protest, but I feel like that's a little crazy that we're getting to the point where there's people out there with communist flags protesting for communism. And I know this kind of, it seems hypocritical to say, oh, they have the right. They do have the right to go out there, but it just seems so stupid. And again, see, I can disagree and be like, oh, what the heck is going on that there are people protesting for communism? It's a capitalist society and, like, republic that we have, because, you know, we elect a delegate to go up there. Why do we have communist protests? But, like, again, they have the right to be out there, and I hate it, but it should be completely allowed because it's in our constitution. They have the right to go out there and protest what they believe.
They do have the right to believe that. We, as people who disagree, we have to go out there and have discussions with them and say, why do you believe what you believe?
Yeah.
And then say what we believe and why we believe and have discourse. We are not going to take away their right, but we need to explain to them the reason why communism never works.
Yeah. And you can have these protests, right? Again, you just can't make them violent. We have a lot of protests in the last couple of years, and people are like, oh, they're limiting the freedom. But in reality, they get too violent. If the protest becomes violent and starts destroying businesses and it starts destroying the city, then it's not a protest anymore. It's a riot. There's a difference between a protest and a riot.
The riot is not freedom of speech, because the freedom of speech applies to if you do not harm someone else. Riots harm everyone else. If you look at the BLM protests, they riot and they broke down stores, they looted, they took away property that was small business owners that could never rebuild back up because they didn't have the money to rebuild their stores. That is not freedom of speech when you tear down other people's property. That's a crime. Freedom of speech is discourse, and that's what the founders meant. They wanted us to discuss ideas. They wanted us to make sure that we are civil in our discourse. And that's, if you, we're Christians, and we want, like, in Jesus in the Bible, he tells us to discuss civilly, to put down our arms and actually have discussions with other people.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm talking about, like, when it comes to cancel culture. I feel like there are a lot of people on certain sides of the spectrum that will try to cancel you. Like, remember, I wanted to start this podcast so bad, but I was worried that my opinions would hurt people, not hurt people, but would be considered offensive, or, like, they just didn't like my side of the spectrum that I was on of my beliefs, that I would never be able to get certain places, like jobs or opportunities, because of my beliefs, and that kind of, like, I would be canceled for my own beliefs. And that always scared me. I couldn't, like, I was so threatened, like, I can't even start this podcast because my own beliefs will keep me from getting other opportunities. But I'd say, well, God's going to handle it. God knows what's best. I should start this podcast.
Right. I think I have the same feelings too. And I chose to do this because I believe that America should be appreciated more. And she's a country that's unique. It's a gem that we have landed on. And we need to discuss even more the great things she has to offer and what she needs to improve on. The one thing I would say on that comment is that that's a theme throughout the whole universe. Everyone is scared to share their opinions and beliefs because they have valuable things that they don't want to lose. And if they think that if they want to speak out, they have to risk those things that they're going to lose, so that they can fight for the greater good. If you look at so many examples in the, let's just go through the Bible, all these 12 disciples, Jesus, they laid down everything.
Yeah, they laid down, they spoke their mind, they spoke truth, they spoke the word of Jesus, and in the end, all 12 were killed, or they killed themselves. I forget which one did.
They didn't kill them. Well, they got killed by other forces. They never killed themselves. Judas was an exception. Because he betrayed Jesus.
That's the only one I was thinking about. But
he betrayed Jesus and killed himself. But the others, they laid down their lives. They spoke out for the truth. But they risked everything. They threw it away. So it's a theme around all times where we have to speak out and lay down and sacrifice things. In America, though, it shouldn't be that way. You should be able to speak your mind and risk nothing.
Whether we believe or agree with you, obviously I've told some things that I don't agree with everybody. Right. And there's some things that really fire me up. Like, man, I don't agree with them. And I would love to have a talk. And sometimes it fires me up that I'm like, oh, I want to like go disagree. But I tell myself before I go up, if there's anyone I disagree with, there's people at work I disagree with. I don't like immediately, or actually I never like start telling them how wrong they are, because it doesn't solve anything. Disagreements and like telling people how wrong they are will never change anybody's mind. You have to understand where they're coming from to get a better idea, and then you can just talk through it. You know what I'm talking about? Like, anytime you start telling people, oh, you believe this, so you're wrong, you do this, that's against this, you know, it doesn't fix the problem. It doesn't help any discourse. You don't actually get any discourse at all, really. You just get two people blabbering and trying to tell each other who's right and who's wrong.
That's a societal thing. We can do anything with the law. We can give people the freedom of speech, but to actually change discourse, to actually listen, get people to listen to the other side of the aisle, that's a harder aspect of communication. Yeah, I would definitely say
something. If Americans could learn something, it's just to listen to the other side respectfully, respond respectfully, listen respectfully, actually listen, like get the full, you know, thing that they're saying, their full talking points, and then just discuss. And at the end of the day, you don't have to agree. You can agree to disagree, have a conversation, be like, okay, I understand why you believe that way, but this is me. This is the way I've grown up. This is the experiences I've had. And I can't believe or agree in that certain way. And that's just it. And you walk away, or you can still be friends or just talk. There's no reason to hate the other person because of their beliefs. And obviously it's happened throughout history. Like, Hitler hating the Jews because they were Jewish, you know, like, he shouldn't have hated them. That was awful, everything he did to them and the whole starting the war thing. But everyone in America should have, in my opinion, the ability to listen, agree, disagree, and walk away without hurting or harming anybody.
Disagreement is the way to make an agreement if you have the right way to talk about it. Whenever you don't talk with the other person and you hate their guts because you don't want to talk because of it, you're never going to solve an issue. Just like you said, it's always going to be hating, and then it's going to lead to war. That's what happens. I mean, if you look at the Civil War, these two sides, the North and the South, they had difference of opinion on slavery.
Yeah.
And then they hate each other's guts. They stop talking, and Civil War happens. So many people die because of it. If you lay down your differences, if you lay down your anger towards the other person, lay down everything, and put down your ego and pride, you can actually start making progress and amend things. But I will say that it's very hard to do, to put down your pride. But that, if that's what Jesus can do, or what if that's what the world leaders can do to make agreements with people, I think it's something that anyone can do.
And if you ever want any examples of like people being super disagreeable or super disrespectful, check out like any, I guess you could say, conservative, they go to a like college campus, like Charlie Kirk, and then people just say some of the most disrespectful, mean, hateful things just for having an opinion. And so if you want any proof of that, just check out Charlie Kirk is probably one of the best examples, or the Louder with Crowder show. You will see, even though he has an opinion, there's still people that will absolutely say every rude, disrespectful, mean thing for just because of his own beliefs.
Yeah. So, wrapping this first part of this series, we want to stress that the education of our people about freedom of speech is so important, and that we should change our mindset about how we discuss with people on the other side, people that we do not agree with. We have the freedom of speech. We have it as a tool. We need to use it so that we can make amends with people and unify people. We need to unify this country so that we are centered on the beliefs of our founders. If we can agree on these first 10 amendments that we're going to go through, we can agree on so much more. And what we need right now is a unified country so that our children benefit from the values that our forefathers made, our ancestors benefited from, and now we're benefiting today. We need to make sure that these values pass on to our children.
Yes, if I could just add one thing before we end it up here, it's just to listen to the other side, you know, really take it all in and then evaluate it, speak, and just don't argue, don't spread hate. We're not trying to spread hate. Nobody should be spreading hate. Just talk it out. And at the end of the day, you don't have to agree. You can just walk away and go, okay, they have a different opinion. And that's it. There's no reason to do anything, to hate them, to hurt them. We just want everybody in America to get along and understand that we can listen and disagree and agree. There is no point in ever spreading hate or hurt. And that is what we've been given, is the freedom of speech, so that way we can have that, like the talking. And we don't want to, I would say, like take that away or make it seem like, I'm kind of losing my point here, sorry, but hurt our own freedom of speech. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like we have a freedom of speech and sometimes we abuse it by trying to take other people's away.
Yeah. And we never want to cross the line to where my mom came from. If we cross that line, we're never going to come back from it. We need to keep this freedom of speech here and realize that we have it and we need to treat it as like a baby, holding in our arms and passing it along to the next generation. So that's it for this first part of the series. Check out the next one. All right. Sights on. Signing off.